Nicole Sandler here with you, filling in today for Montel Williams on Montel Across America. And I am thrilled to welcome our next guest. Before I bring Alan Grayson on the line, a little reminder. I put together a little piece that will remind you of who Alan Grayson is.
Here it is, the Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick. If you have insurance, don't get sick. If you don't have insurance, don't get sick. If you're sick, don't get sick. Just don't get sick. That's what the Republicans have in mind for you, America. That's the Republicans' health care plan. But I think that the Republicans understand that that plan isn't always going to work. It's not a foolproof plan. So the Republicans have a backup plan in case you do get sick. If you get sick, America, the Republican health care plan is this. Die quickly. Last night here in this chamber, I gave a speech. Immediately after that speech, several Republicans asked me to apologize. Well, I would like to apologize. I would like to apologize to the dead. What the Republicans have been doing is an insult to America. They've been dragging their feet. These are our foot-dragging, knuckle-dragging Neanderthals who think they can dictate policy to America by being stubborn. And I think the time is over. We had an election. That's it. Now we have to move ahead in just the way the president wants.
The other party are these nattering nabobs of negativism. These people who know that if the president has a BLT sandwich tomorrow, the Republicans are going to try to ban bacon.
Ah, yes. Alan Grayson, congressman from the Orlando area of Florida, representing Orlando and Ocala, Central Florida, a part of the country that has gone Republican, well, until last year when they elected Alan Grayson. And he, of course, made a name for himself, became a national figure by simply exposing what the Republican health care plan is. Don't get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly. Congressman Grayson, it's great to have you on the show again.
Thanks, Nicole. I just want to know, what have you done with Montel?
He's, I guess, taking a few well-deserved days off.
All right, so it's not some kind of studio coup.
No,
right?
not at all. And I'm still doing my late-night thing on Air America. In fact, I will be back on tonight from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. So for all the night owls out there, I will. You can listen to me live at airamerica.com. And Montel will be back, I'm not sure, I guess Monday. But Congressman Grayson, again, that was a little refresher for people who may not remember exactly some of the things you've said, although it's pretty hard to forget a Democrat with a backbone. And I think you re-energized the party.
Well, I think things are looking a lot better now. For the first time in months, it's the Republicans who are on the defensive. I mean, we come up with a health care plan that gives every American health care coverage. That gives people comprehensive coverage, so you're no longer in a situation where you can get all the health care you need as long as you don't need any. And we give people affordable coverage, and somehow the Republican noise machine manages to put the Democrats on the defensive week after week, month after month, until now. Because now people see that the Republicans have no answers to their problems. It's been 3 weeks since I gave that speech on the floor, and I've been waiting to see what the Republicans actually would propose to save the 44,000 Americans who are dying every year without health care coverage. And the answer is nothing.
No, they still have yet to come out with a plan. And
That's right.
And what they're doing is just saying no to everything the Republicans are proposing. Now, today, I guess we are going to get some action from the House. Nancy Pelosi is going to give us the details of the House bill that we've been waiting for. And early reports are saying that the robust public option may not be so robust.
No, I'm optimistic about it, but the main thing is we need a bill that saves lives and also saves money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bill that you're going to see is not going to be terribly different from the bill that President Obama campaigned on 2 years ago when he first announced he was running for the presidency. And now it's going to be delivering on that promise.
Well, you know, the Congressional Budget Office is now scoring the Senate bill. Harry Reid made his announcement that the bill in the Senate would have a public option and handed it off to the CBO for scoring. And what we're hearing about that, though, is that in the few different versions of the public option that they'll be looking at, the more inclusive the public option is, or the more robust it is, the better it is in terms of costs.
Well, that's exactly right. The CBO has already said that the public option saves the public $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And the employer mandate, the requirement that you have employers provide health care to all of their employees, not just the top management, that saves $200 billion. And both of those things were bargained away in the Senate Finance Committee in order to try to get Olympia Snowe's vote.
Right.
That's $300 billion the taxpayers have to spend they wouldn't otherwise have to spend just in order to try to get one more vote. And I think that's too high a price to pay.
Now, along the lines of the employer mandate, because I've got mixed emotions on that, I think one of the problems, one of the reasons the U.S. is not as competitive, say, in the auto industry, is because of the built-in costs of health insurance, where if we had, say, Medicare for all, single payer in this system, in this country, industries, companies would not be responsible for giving their employees health insurance. It would bring the cost of everything down.
Well, the real problem is the ones who have no conscience. 80% of all of the large employers in this country already provide health care that meets the qualifications of this bill, and 20% don't. And it's those 20% who end up creating the situation where the public ends up having to pay for people, and they get late care, and they end up dying. If you, let's say, contract skin cancer and you treat it, then you're likely to live. If you don't treat it, you're likely to die, in fact, almost certain to die. And that's what we see happening every single day in this country with cancer, with diabetes, with health, with heart disease, with everything that causes people morbidity and mortality. And it's because of these 20% without a conscience, that they're the ones who put us in the situation where we see our friends and our loved ones die.
Right. So that's why we have to mandate that employers provide health care.
Well, it doesn't look like it's happening any other way.
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly provided all sorts of incentives and tax cuts for the rich and everything else, and nothing else seems to be working. But I remember in the 70s, a gentleman ran for Senate in Pennsylvania with this one simple slogan. He said, if you have a job, then you'll have health care. And he came out of nowhere and won, and that was 30 years ago. It's about time we delivered on that promise.
No kidding. Now, Congressman Alan Grayson, what do you say to somebody like Joe Lieberman, who back in 2006, when he was running for re-election, he was advocating for universal health coverage, and now he's standing up and saying, well, you know, I don't like this public option stuff. I just may filibuster it.
Well, what I say to him is this. There are 500,000 people in his state who he is sworn to represent,
mm-hmm,
who have no health care. They can't see a doctor when they're sick. They have no way to pay the bills when they do. These are people who end up 40% more likely to die than the ones who do have health care. And lives are being lost every single day in his state and all around the country. 122 Americans die every day because they have no health care. If you take two people who are physically identical, same race, same gender, same age, same smoking habits, same weight, and one of them has health coverage and one of them doesn't, then the one who has no health care is 40% more likely to die. And that's just as true in Connecticut as it is in Florida and Texas and Alaska and everywhere else in this country. And it's a national tragedy. So if he wants that to continue, then he can try to block the bill. And if he wants to save lives in Connecticut and everywhere all around America, then he can stop blocking the bill and do the right thing.
Right. Well, what we're learning is that Joe Lieberman's wife, Hadassah, is, at least was on the payroll, I think, of Hill & Knowlton, a lobbying firm, basically, representing health insurance. When can we put an end to these conflicts of interest and get money out of the political process so that members of Congress are not taking legal bribes, which is what I look at some of these big campaign contributions as?
Well, this is a horrendous problem. There was a recent Marist College poll about 6 weeks ago that said that 93% of America supports change in health care. Only 7% supports the status quo. It's hard to get 93% of America to agree on anything. I mean, you couldn't even get 93% of America to agree on paper versus plastic. And yet we have something close to unanimity on this subject. And you ask yourself, who really supports the status quo? And in the end, It comes down to this. It's the insurance company and their minions. It's the insurance companies and their minions and nobody else. And somehow they're able to block this day after day, week after week, month after month. And it makes people wonder if we really have a democracy at all.
Yeah, it is incredible. But the fact remains that to be reelected, that candidates, politicians need to raise money. Since your speech on the floor of the House, you've been raising money. You've become a national figure, and people like me who are so thrilled to see a Democrat actually standing up, telling the truth, calling their opponents out for what they are and what they're doing, have given you money. But you still need to raise more money because as a member of the House of Representatives, you are up for re-election every 2 years. It's a perpetual campaign cycle.
Well, for me it is, anyway, because I represent a very competitive district. I'm the first Democrat to represent my district in 34 years.
It's amazing.
And when I ran as a Democrat. I felt people were entitled to that. I don't think you can beat a Republican by being one.
Mm-hmm.
So I told people exactly what I would do, and I'm doing what I promised. I'm delivering on the promises I made to bring more money into the district. We've increased the congressional spending in the district by 500% in 9 months. To create jobs in the district, to improve health care in the district, improve education, cut tolls. I didn't hide from the fact that I'm a Democrat, and I think that helped me to win because people like a congressman with guts. But it's true what you say. We have to raise a lot of money, and in fact, it's happening, but we're creating a whole new model for doing that. We're doing this the way nobody else has been able to do this at our level, which is to raise money through small contributions. Since in the last 30 days, we've raised $500,000. That's $500,000 from 10,000 people.
Wow.
Who gave an average of $50 or less.
Wow.
And that's a model that nobody else in the country has been able to accomplish. We have a website called congressmanwithguts.com. I'll repeat that.
Go ahead.
congressmanwithguts.com. And as Rachel Maddow said, she wasn't surprised that nobody had taken that URL before we did. And what we've done is we've invited people to what we call a money bomb. Which has been done on the far right occasionally with some degree of success, but never among progressives. You go to the site and you pledge to make your contribution, and the contributions are collected on November 2nd, which is 1 year before the next congressional election. The elections next year are November 2nd, 2010.
Wow.
And
so
we've had tremendous success. We've received over $300,000 in cash from people in the past 30 days, and over $200,000 in pledges at congressmanwithguts.com. So what we're trying to do is to show other people you don't have to just go to the lobbyists and get your money that way, even if you're in a race like mine, which requires $2 million every 2 years. You don't have to go to people who want special favors from you and swap contributions for favors. You don't have to do that anymore because there is a critical mass of people in America with a conscience in my district and everyone else's district. And that's the public financing of elections we really need.
All right.
We need the public to step up.
Congressman Alan Grayson is with us. Congressmanwithguts.com is that website if during the break you want to go pledge to participate in the money bomb on Monday. Congressman, can you hold on a moment? Because I've still got lots more questions for you.
Sure. Thank you.
Congressman Alan Grayson will be back with us after the break. I'm Nicole in for Montel. Don't go away. Nicole Sadler back with you, filling in for Montel Williams today, and thrilled that Congressman Alan Grayson is with us this half hour. Congressman, you know I live down in Miami. I only wish you were my congressman, or make me want to move a couple of hours up the turnpike. But a question for you that I haven't really heard anybody else address, except for you the first time we spoke. The GOP has been targeting Acorn. I think it's been a witch hunt. I think it's horrible. You voted for this Defund Acorn Act, and you explained to me why you did that. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure. The Republicans wrote that, and they wrote it in such a way so that inadvertently they've ended up defunding every crooked defense contractor in the country. They had a dilemma because the Constitution says that you can't go after only one entity in a congressional bill. That would be trial by legislature. That's unconstitutional. That's called the Bill of Attainder. So they had to somehow blur the distinction they were trying to make. And in the course of doing so, they inadvertently ended up including every crooked defense contract who ever submitted a false or fake bill to the U.S. government and defunding all of them. And I thought that was great. I spent 5 years prosecuting war profiteers in Iraq before I was elected to Congress. And I've been looking for something like this. And I, you know, I look forward to see what other plans the Republicans may have to inadvertently bring about world peace and hunger. It seems like the only way they ever get things done on the other side is to do things by mistake or by accident. You know, this actually illustrates an important point, which is if you want to know why Republicans hate government so much, it's because they're so bad at it. They write a bill that's meant to take out Acorn, and they end up taking out some of their own major constituencies.
But they haven't. I mean, this would then take out Blackwater, which is now called G or something like that, XE, KBR, Halliburton, all these other contractors, but they're still working. And why President Obama still has them on the payroll, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that I haven't heard any talk anywhere except from you that this Defund Acorn Act will put these other guys out of business. So where are we on that?
Well, it hasn't reached the president's desk yet. What happened was it went through the House. The Senate has a different bill. There'll be some kind of conference, and then we'll vote on it again. It goes to the president's desk. And I've spoken directly to the leadership to try to make sure that the good parts of this bill remain exactly the way they are, because it's about time we did something about crooked contractors. It's long overdue. When I was doing this myself, the Wall Street Journal said I was fighting a one-man war against contractor fraud in Iraq, and I felt bad that it was a one-man war. It shouldn't be a one-man war.
You're absolutely right, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about that, because I want people to understand that you are still fighting this battle. You were an attorney by trade, and you went after these defense contractors. A lot has been written in the press about that you're independently wealthy, that but most of your legal career was done going after these guys?
Yeah, when I was elected to Congress, I was literally the lead attorney in every single case being litigated against contractor fraud in Iraq, every single one.
That is awesome. Let me ask you your thoughts on Afghanistan. You're a member of Congress. What should we be doing in Afghanistan?
Get out. Just get out.
This is why I love you, because you say what you think, and you don't mince words. Get out. And what do you think the president is going to do? My fear is that he's going to do what he seems to be doing, which is sort of, go somewhere in the middle. He won't give McChrystal the 40,000 troops he wants, but he also won't pull out. He'll probably give him 20,000.
The situation is completely untenable. Roughly 15% of every single deployment over to Afghanistan, 15% of those troops end up coming home with permanent brain damage. This is a study that was published in a peer-reviewed journal regarding Iraq returnees a year ago. The conditions in Afghanistan are actually worse than the conditions in Iraq. If he says he's sending 40,000 more troops over to Afghanistan, what he's really doing is sentencing 6,000 American troops to permanent brain damage, something we'll be living with for the next half century.
Well, we should know, I guess, around November 7th, which is when the next bogus election is going to take place in Afghanistan.
Well, look, we really have no more reason to be there at this point than we have a reason to be anywhere else. There's a civil war over there. There's civil wars all over the world. I don't see us sending troops to Ethiopia, to the Sudan, to Guinea-Bissau, Burkina Faso, Palau. Honestly, we were there because they were hosting the government in 2001 was hosting Al Qaeda. We removed that government. Why we need to be there 8 years later is a puzzle to me, and I think to most Americans at this point.
You and me both.
We are not safer because we are there. I can guarantee you that.
Congressman Alan Grayson, it is always a pleasure to speak with you, and it is very reaffirming and reassuring to know that you are in Congress representing us. Congressmanwithguts.com is the website if you want to make a contribution to Alan Grayson's reelection campaign. Right now, I don't think the Republicans have a candidate to go up against them because they're all afraid, and that's a good thing, too. Congressmanwithguts.com.